Welcome to Software Gone Wild, the podcast focused on everything software-defined. I'm Ivan Pipelnyak, and you might know me from my blog, which is blog.ipspace.net. And as almost always, I have a lovely co-host, Eliza Yashinska from Big Wave IT, right?
Hello, Ivan. That's right.
Hey, how are you doing these days?
Good, good. Nice to be back again.
So what are you doing now when it's no longer a sailing season?
Oh, unfortunately, I'm working most of the time again. The summer was so much better.
Yeah, but this is a sweet problem to have, right? You do get paid.
I know, yes, I know. But next season is coming up quick. We're getting ready for the spring again, and there's enough to do with a boat in the winter, too. So we're keeping ourselves busy.
Awesome. So you ready for some orchestration?
Definitely.
Orchestrating the boat fixes?
Let's orchestrate.
Okay. With us today is John Casey from Seaplay Networks. Hello, John.
Hello, Ivan. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you. John, I don't think that many people have heard about Seaplay Networks. You're in perfectly stealth marketing mode.
I think we are, yes. In fact, we have a very rich history, but really had our heads down working on our technology and solutions, and I think you'll hear a lot about us in the coming months and in next year.
So you're not one of those startups that just started and have this crazy idea that has never been proven in real life.
No, that's actually not the case. In fact, we have a very interesting history. We have a telecom heritage. We've revolutionized MPLS service orchestration in the early days of the MPLS build-out of the Internet. Back then, we were actually doing virtual networking, but for telcos.
Back then would be what, early 2000s?
Early 2000, yeah. The original heritage of our technology goes back to the early 2000 days. And we focused on deploying in tier one telcos around the world and being the service orchestration for MPLS.
So that's what you've been doing in those days?
Yes. We've moved into data center virtualization, cloud networking, and SDN in the recent times. And we've totally migrated our technology to focus on in this area.
Okay, so what is your technology? What exactly are you doing?
That's a great question. So we are software platform, which is a SDN controller/service orchestration system. And we have a platform, and then we have products that are written on top of that platform.
Okay. So you have an orchestration platform, and then you have a few applications on top of that.
Yes.
What are these applications?
We're focused in on cloud, and so all of our applications these days are around building out multi-site cloud solutions. So we're really focused on the build-out of OpenStack and the way OpenStack enables cloud. So we have one product called DVND, which is a Neutron plugin, which we'll talk a little bit about later. We have Edge technology, which allows us to connect OpenStack into the hardware edge or the virtual edge. We have an MPLS product, which provisions the WAN technology that allows us to connect multiple sites together. And then we have a new product coming out early next year, which is a cloud orchestration system, which is a layer that sits above OpenStack and orchestrates multi-site OpenStack instances from above.
So based on what you just told us, it looks like you are focused primarily on service providers, right?
Our target market is service providers and enterprises. We are doing a number of things with both. We have actually production customers in both enterprises and service providers. In fact, I'll just say one of the customers will be showcased, a Tier 1 telco, in the Metro Ethernet Forum Gen 15 show next week, which I'll be going to.
And who would use your product in enterprise, because enterprise rarely uses OpenStack?
Well, we're seeing actually a lot of companies, and it's a really good question. What we're finding in enterprises is that they're starting to look at deploying OpenStack to provide private cloud. And in order to really understand that piece of it and how the motivation of enterprises, you need to look at how current IT works. Typically, you have a one-size-fits-all model in enterprise. where you have lots of silos in IT, and you have this assembly line of requests coming from the business units to deploy applications. And each of these silos in IT gets their 50 or 100 work orders and manually configures their piece of the application, you know, whether it be routers or switches or firewalls. And they actually deploy these, you know, one at a time. And that works okay for some applications, but as companies are starting to look past VMware virtualization and more into cloud, they're starting to look at OpenStack. And as enterprises are starting to look at how to automate some of their applications, they're either looking at moving them to AWS. In some cases, that works well. But in other cases, that doesn't. So they're looking at building private clouds within their organization. And they're actually doing a lot of testing and deployment of OpenStack itself. And so they're looking at how to basically build their own private cloud within their organization. And there's a number of very large enterprises doing that.
Okay. And we know that the OpenStack, well, the networking in vanilla OpenStack you download from the OpenStack website isn't exactly stellar. So I guess that you are just ripping out the whole Neutron piece and plugging in your solution, right?
That's true. I mean, we're maintaining compatibility at the plugin layer, and so we have our own plugin. And this is actually where one of the reasons we excel in this. We've looked at the Neutron as a scaling out from an east-west model and also from a north-south model. So what we've done is we've been able to scale OpenStack networking to very, very large scale, as well as provide seamless connectivity into either VMware or across, you know, your data centers, or basically into physical workloads.
So when you say very large scale, what would that be?
Well, you know, a typical leaf spine architecture can support about 6,000 nodes, and we can scale up above and beyond that. One of the things that we do that is very different than, I think, you know, typical either Neutron plugin or, you know, hardware vendors, is we've eliminated the N squared problem on the network, where we're updating every network element. And one of the things we've done is made every compute node autonomous, which means it doesn't have any single point of failure dependency or dependency on updating every other node in the network, like some other solutions like the existing Neutron, as well as some of the other hardware solutions. Then essentially we create a topology within our controller. Each compute node is both autonomous, which means it can act on its own rules that are given to it, as well as ephemeral, which means that if a node goes down, when it comes back up, it refreshes its cache from our controller. So we end up providing a service-based orchestration method to each compute node based on the topology that's provided from within OpenStack. For example, we do L2 and 3 switching and routing right from each compute node. We have local DHCP services on each compute node, so there's not central point of failure for DHCP services. We have a local ARP proxy, which means the ARP can't be poisoned or, you know, misconfigured either by other controllers or the VMs themselves. We bring floating IP and NAT right to each compute node, and we've even added DDoS protection at the compute node level, so each compute node is protected from DDoS, either from the VMs or from the outside world.
This all sounds exactly like yet another overlay virtual networking solution. Is that what it basically is?
Well, this is a virtual overlay solution built on VXLAN, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have connectivity. So the strength of our solution is built in the controller and its ability to manage across OpenStack environments. So this would be useful for anybody that is trying to build large OpenStack environments, you know, more than 100 or 200 nodes, and have multiple sites. And so we have integration with a northbound side, integrating with both the physical LAN as well as multiple sites using our technology called an overlay gateway router, which is our seamless integration into layer 3 MPLS VPNs. So we can create MPLS VPNs per virtual tenant, and then we can extend the virtual tenant experience and isolation into those VPNs.
So you are integrating directly with the service provider PE routers?
Well, yes, we integrate with the service provider PE routers, as well as in an enterprise. Some enterprises are managing their MPLS environment PE routers themselves, and they're, you know, one of the trends is to purchase for enterprises just to purchase the layer, the physical layer 2, and do the routing layer themselves. And so we would be integrating with the PE routers to provide that multiple VRF instances across their MPLS network.
So how does that work?
That's very interesting. So we have a combination of a virtual CE, which is our OGR, which allows us to export the tenant's virtual overlay over BGP. So we have a BGP speaker. And then into the PE router themselves, we have our service orchestration for MPLS, our DVNI product, or Dynamic Virtual Networks Interconnect. The Dynamic Virtuals Interconnect is actually a multi-vendor PE provisioning system for MPLS. So we can create both L3 networks, layer 3 VPNs, as well as pseudo-wire and VPLS. So we vary in a, either through an API or through our console, can very easily drag and drop and create layer 3 VPNs across from one data center to another, or combining data centers for that particular tenant.
Now we're getting into stuff where I can ask some questions. So how does this talk to the devices on the backend side?
That's great. So as I mentioned earlier, our heritage is in telco, and so we actually have our controller. And as I think I mentioned before, is about 90% of all of our applications share a common code base, and in that common code base is our orchestrating controller, and in that, we have topology, state, policy management, path computation, and service orchestration engine. Our southbound interface allows us to communicate with almost any type of device, from NetConf, CLI, SNMP, API, REST, Python integration, or even some sort of custom integration. So how we communicate with multi-vendor PE routers, for example, would be through their native interfaces, either through NetConf or CLI. And right now we integrate with Cisco, Juniper, Dell, Pika 8 for MPLS, and we're able to provision services across those routers.
Which dialect of Cisco?
we support iOS XE and XOS, and I believe iOS XR is either close to deployment or has already been completed.
Okay, but if I come along with my Arista network, let's say it couldn't talk to the device without tweaking it somehow.
Yeah, let's talk about how we actually deploy new multi-vendor networks. So our orchestration engine, we have a common language for defining services. So let's take layer 3 VPNs as a common service. So that's, we know that's made up of things like, you know, route target, route definitions, VRF definitions, routing options, ACLs, you know, IP interfaces, and those definitions. We have a semantic model that we use to describe, which is our own metadata language that describes the policy at which MPLS gets deployed, for example. This is completely vendor neutral, so it's our own common language, common semantic model of a definition of MPLS. We have a orchestration layer or an orchestration engine, which is a common language that you use to deploy the order and the state of these services. And then we have a separation of plugins for different types of multi-vendor equipment. So we can see that on the network, you might have an Arista, you might have a Cisco iOS XR, you have a Cisco Nexus. When we find those devices on the network and we want to apply a policy to it, we pick up the right plugin module and talk to that individual device. So adding a new device, for example, for Arista, would be a matter of just writing a plugin module, and that's as easy as you know, writing a few scripts using our APIs, and that can happen very, very quickly.
All right.
Okay. Another problem I have with MPLS VPN provisioning is that every service provider thinks that their service is a unique snowflake, and everyone wants to have it configured just that way, and it cannot be in any other way.
Right.
So how do you cope with that?
That's a really good question. So built into our semantic model is the capability and options to add additional capabilities, right? So we can parameterize just about anything, whether they're talking about the names of VRFs or the attributes that you want to apply to the vendor's equipment. What we do is we separate out the vendor-specific capabilities into the vendor's plugin, and we have essentially a meta language that allows us to define those additional attributes. And if maybe two vendors have those same attributes and a third vendor doesn't, then we can actually show up in the console that those options aren't available for a vendor. So that addresses the vendor-specific components for the telco. The other part is that the language that our service orchestration engine is defined in is a graphical modular language that can be tailored to the telco's particular needs. And so from an engineering perspective, we deploy an application of MPLS, but at runtime or at deploy time, we can customize that language for the particular, or customize that definition or orchestration solution for that particular telco's environment. And because it's a graphical modular language, we can reintegrate that, you know, when we come out with new releases.
Can the customer do the customization on their own, or is it you adapting the product to the customer needs?
We have an SDK. That's a really good question. So we have an SDK that a customer can elect to work with, and they can either have their own staff if they have the skills, or an additional integration partner, or we can deliver it ourselves with professional services. So we can tailor that solution based on, you know, basically the customer's needs, and that can be separate from how we deliver the product.
Is that on the southbound side as well? So if I wanted to write my own modules for it?
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. So actually also during runtime, you can reintegrate new modules from a southbound side, and from, you can change the logic from a northbound side during runtime. Probably not advisable in a telco because you probably want to go through mm-hmm. some sort of dev test environment, but we can reintegrate new logic at any point in the deployment cycle.
And on the MPLS side, your product is a pure service provisioning product, right? You work on the device configurations. You are not in the control plane or the data plane.
Yes. At the moment, the DVNI product is a service provisioning product. And so it works in the configuration plane. And let me just talk a little bit about the capabilities of that. So there's really two aspects of that. One is the actual network provisioning itself, which allows us to onboard new routers, configure routers, configure the base configuration of the routers, discover new routers and new router configuration, do path computation and LSP creation across the core from edge to edge. And then the second piece is the actual services, endpoint services themselves, either L2, pseudo-wire VPLS, or layer 3 VPN.
So now we know how you provision MPLS VPN on the edges of the network.
Mm-hmm.
You also mentioned traffic engineering.
Yes.
So what's going on there?
Right. Well, we have a path computation engine and traffic engineering where we can take multiple inputs, either from the user, from the routers themselves, and we have a definite, you know, basically it's a tool that allows either the network operator or network architect to provide LSPs or traffic engineering of their LSPs on the network. And so how this works is that we build a topology model from the discovery part of our product, where we will build all of the links, the link states, the link replications, the link capacity, and then allow you to do allow an operator to define the particular path that, you know, to do affinities or path coloring, costing. And then we have a couple of different algorithms that we use to create LSPs. So we have patented a multi-commodity flow. We have a constraint-based short path first, and then we have the ability to create backup paths to allow failover with while maintaining your SLAs. So we run a path computation against an LSP creation, and then we go ahead and deploy those LSPs on the network routers.
How do you deploy them? Is this yet again through device configurations, or do you use PCEP?
This is through device configurations. We're currently looking at PCEP and those things, but the current model is through device configurations.
So you have to download a lot of explicit source route objects into the devices.
Yeah, we would be doing explicit route on the edge, basically on the A end and Z end. That's correct.
If we move on, so we have the data center piece.
Mm-hmm.
We have the WAN piece, and then you mentioned you have the third one that's glue between these two.
Right. That is actually our overlay gateway router, or it is the essentially a virtual CE device, and that allows us to connect OpenStack virtual overlay VXLAN into the VRFs of the PE routers. So those are either the overlay gateway router is a multi-tenant defined as a essentially pluggable interface into our OpenStack virtual router object. And so you use that overlay gateway router to connect either to a VRF, one or more VRFs, or to a physical network. The overlay gateway router is a NCAP DCAP component, which de-encapsulates VXLAN and either encapsulates that onto VLAN and connects into VRS or into either some sort of GRE tunnel or some sort of IPsec tunnel.
So if you would translate from VXLAN to VLAN and then you would want to connect that to the MPLS network, that would be inter-AS option A, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And you would run a BGP session for every tenant between the OGR and the PE router.
That's correct. So every overlay gateway router has a BGP speaker, and so we can manage those independently. And so if you had multiple, for example, VRFs, one for each tenant, you would connect a OGR into that that VRF and then announce the virtual overlay routes through BGP, through the BGP on the overlay gateway router and into the VRF BGP session.
Can you also do multi-protocol BGP with the MPLS network so that I don't have to provision all those VLANs?
We are working on that, and it should be out sometime next year.
And OGR is probably a software-only solution, right?
It is actually. It's x86-based, and so it comes in multiple flavors. The most common flavor, because your WAN tends to be lower capacity than your LAN, it is deployed in a virtual machine. However, we do have it's built on OVS, and so we do have a hardware version of it, which is hardware accelerated.
So I can probably guess that the VM can push a few gigabits through.
Mm-hmm.
What about this hardware accelerated one? How much performance can you get there?
We're looking at about... I think it's about 20 gig. I haven't seen the latest tests, but we're using DBDK, so we're pushing about 20 gig through the DBDK version.
So you're running OVS with DBDK data plane and just programming the OVS.
That's correct.
Okay. Then we know approximately where the performance should be.
Right.
So now we have the three pieces. You orchestrate the Neutron, you orchestrate the MPLS VPN network, and you provide the glue. What if I want to either build a scale-out OpenStack architecture, or if I have OpenStack running in multiple data centers, and, for example, a single tenant wants to be deployed across multiple data centers. Do you have a solution there as well?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. We have multi-site OpenStack orchestration tool, which actually just does that. It's a again, it's built on top of our orchestration platform, and it allows us to provision a single tenant across multiple OpenStack environments. And so we have a single view of a customer from a northbound side, and we then keep the state of the multi-view of the tenants, for example, from a southbound side to each OpenStack. And so whether you're deploying multiple pods of OpenStacks in one data center or you have multiple sites with OpenStack environments, we will provision across those. Some of the interesting things that you can do about with OpenStack is create very specialized pods for either quality of service or geo-segmentation. Maybe you want to isolate certain types of data or certain types of VMs in one or more OpenStack, and you want affinities to those. And so if you're provisioning, for example, a high secure application, you want those all to go into one one OpenStack environment. You can use our multi-site OpenStack manager to provision those.
So that OpenStack manager would also be able to help me with things like workload migration or disaster recovery, right?
That's exactly right. So we can dynamically create new OpenStack environments and then help you migrate those VMs to those new environments. We also orchestrate virtual network functions. So if you want to bring up a new router as a VM, we can also integrate those types of functions into this solution.
Okay. Let's assume that my OpenStack, because you only work with OpenStack, my OpenStack environment has been growing organically for the last few years. Mm-hmm. And instead of writing manifests, I created more or less everything by hand using GUI or APIs or whatever. Because documenting what you do is so unpopular, right?
Yes.
Now, my CIO comes along with this great idea that we'll just rebuild this environment somewhere else in case of disaster recovery. So, you know, we'll pack all the toys in the bag and then we'll just walk over there and unpack the bag and the toys will be like brand new and they will work from the first millisecond.
Right.
Can you at least help us copy the network infrastructure over there? Because I haven't seen a single product that would be able to do this today.
Well, that's actually a really great question. So one of the things that we do is because we are keeping your topology and states within our controller, we can actually replicate environments. And so we actually have a completely self-documenting topology. So first of all, if you are not running our multi-site manager and you want to install it, we would then go and discover all of the aspects about your environment. So from your keystone definitions to your tenant definitions to your VMs to the definitions of your images, your image references, your flavor references, you know, your disk, your image, and even the image of the application itself, we can pull into our topology. And so once you have it in our topology, then we can transform that. Right now it's not automatic, but we can export that and transform that into a self-documented version of OpenStack.
So it is theoretically possible to just take that as a manifest and recreate the environment somewhere else.
That is correct. We have not done that yet, but that is certainly the direction we're going.
Nice. So when are you going to offer that for VMware?
Well, the idea with this multi-site manager, and we didn't particularly name it OpenStack Manager, is we actually feel that we are going to release this for not only OpenStack, Amazon, and Azure, but also Litvert as well. So we do feel that in the future it will be completely like we're doing with routers and switches and everything else. This is going to be a completely multi-vendor solution for cloud operation, if you will.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. So where can people find more about this product?
Great. So you can visit our website at www.cplanenetworks.com. or send us an email at info@cplanenetworks.com.
And do you also have something that I could just download and install and test drive? Or do I have to speak to your sales team first?
You can go to our website and click on schedule a demo, and we will happily provide you a demo of the system.
Sounds great. And you, are you blogging? Can we follow you somewhere on some of the social media?
Ivan, this is Robert Cahey with Seaplane Networks. We have a blog on our website at seaplanenetworks.com. We also have a Twitter account at @seaplane_networks. And you can also find us on LinkedIn at Seaplane Networks and on Facebook, Seaplane Networks.
Perfect. Thank you. So thank you, John and Robert, now that you jumped in, for your time. Thank you for the intro into what you're doing. And if people want to know more, I'll put the links in the blog post that goes with the podcast to your website and all the other information.
Thank you for your time, Ivan.
And Elisa.
I'm feeling a little bit useless today. I've never even used OpenStack before.
Maybe you're lucky.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sure. You didn't get any nasty questions from me, so you got off easy there.
Yeah, you were so soft on him today. So, Elisa, where can people find you? Where can they follow what you're doing? I don't think you started blogging yet, did you?
No. And I probably never will. I don't have time to write things down.
We'll talk about that on the next Write meeting.
Every once in a while, I'll try in 140 characters on Twitter. You can find me at BigWaveIT. And that's probably about it. Send me an email.
Definitely a good idea.
Are you gonna be in Bucharest next week?
No, I might be in Copenhagen.
Okay. I'll definitely see you there.
Okay. So let's hope I'll have time to drop by.
Nice.
And if you survived till the end of this podcast, and I know you love listening to software-defined stuff, I'm Ivan Pieperniak, and you can find me around ipspace.net. If you want to know more about real-life perspective on SDN, do visit sdn.ipspace.net, where you'll find links to various presentations, videos, webinars, advanced SDN training, which is not focused only on OpenFlow or only on centralized control plane, but on things that actually make sense. And finally, don't forget, we call it software defined, but it still runs on hardware.